All right. Now I'm supposed to pick us up, so I hope it does. This is the 100th anniversary of radiology, right?
Well, now you know more than I do.
I know that because there was a little display out there. Yeah, wrench in 1895.
Yeah, well, I guess you're right. Yeah. So, that's something. Yes. Yeah, well, we want to compare, do we, medicine in the olden days with what it is now, huh?
That would be wonderful, yes. Yeah. Are you still practicing at all now?
No, I had to retire early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, do you want to start back in the college days?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Well, and I graduated from Commerce High School, where I took a course, both college preparatory and business course, which came in handy. And I suppose I did a stupid thing that year, because I applied to one school. And when we were applying to school at that time, economics was the main factor, you know. So I applied to the University of Massachusetts because tuition was the lowest and, you know, it had a good reputation. But, of course, room and board was a little expensive. So my second year, when Clark became co-ed, that was the first year that it became co-ed, I transferred my sophomore year there. And that was a time of war. And, of course, the people that we had in our class as sophomores were not necessarily the people we graduated with, because the boys were called into service. Some of them never came back. Some of them came back, you know, years later to finish their education. And also, Clark had an accelerated program, so that I finished college in 3 years instead of the four, because we went to school during the summertime. And my commercial education from Commerce helped a little bit, because I did earn some money typing theses. And Dr. Neudemarker was the biology professor, and he was extremely good to me. I was a lab assistant, and he gave me a little money that way. And he also got me a job teaching at the Worcester Junior College in the evenings, teaching biology, which also, you know, I had a little remuneration. And when I graduated from college, having only applied to one school, right, the University of Massachusetts, having no problems, and transferring to Clark and having no problems, I thought when I applied to Yale, I might have no problems. So I applied just to Yale, and no other school at all, no other medical school. Yale was co-ed then. Yeah, Yale.
So when did you decide you wanted to go to medical school? You started out in sort of commercial, and then...
Oh, I wanted to go to medical school right through junior high school.
Really?
Yeah, through junior high school, so that was my aim at that time, yeah.
You had good science courses in junior high and high school, had you?
Well, I guess they were average, and
mm-hmm.
It's just that the desire was there.
Mm-hmm.
The desire was there, yeah. So, well, anyway, to go back to Yale, I applied to Yale. That's all. No other medical school. Thinking, oh, no problem. Why wouldn't they take me? they called for an interview, which meant that at least you were being considered. But Yale had only one woman that year, and I wasn't that one woman. So I had next year to spend before going to the medical school. And again, my friend Dr. Lundmarker was very good to me. A position opened to Fitchburg State teachers, so I taught biology, and I taught entomology, and I never had entomology, so I was a chapter ahead of the students at that time. So that was some remuneration, and in the other interim, I actually worked for Davis and Bennett doing chemical assays during that 1 year, so that helped a little bit, you know, with the money. Next, I did apply to more medical schools. The next time, I learned a little bit and decided on Boston University. And there were 8 girls in our class, so they had a little higher quota than Yale. And graduated with 7, which I think is not a Not bad at all.
No.
About how many girls in your class?
Well, about 50. It's half and
it's
half.
It's half and half, so you see, that's great. That's great.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. Well, you know, despite the fact that we're a few women, I think they accepted us quite readily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like boys resenting the girls who are going to medicine. I think we all, you know, all accepted well. Matter of fact, we elected officers and I was secretary for 4 years, which means to me that the girls were accepted, you know, that we were really a part of the school. Some of the other girls who applied and said when they went through their interviews, if anybody mentioned they had marriage on their mind, even in the far future, that disqualified them completely, but this was not true. But our dean was a little more understanding, I think. And Boston University, of course, the first 2 years were like yours. You have all your clinical sciences, your anatomy and what, bacteriology and
pathology,
and pharmacology. Our pharmacology, of course, was a little bit easier than your pharmacology. It's and then after the first 2 years, you took your national boards. That's true now too.
That's still true.
Yeah, yeah. And after the first 2 years, our tuition went up just about double. And my poor mother had been working all this time, you know, for money for tuition, and this was going to be a tremendous hardship. And it was true, you know, for other people too, because it would have been a hardship. The school was very good, and they gave you so-called scholarships, which made up for that extra tuition. So actually, all 4 years' tuition was the same for most of us. Now, people weren't affluent at that time. Now, this is, now you have a car. Yeah, when did you get your car?
Well, I've had a car for a while, but I'm a little older than
yeah.
some of my classmates, mm-hmm. too, so,
But now the kids in high school go to school with cars.
That's true.
Now, this was not true in our day at all. I mean, you took public transportation, and nobody at college had cars. As a matter of fact, in medical school, there was only one in our class who had a car, and that he was a little older than the rest of us because he'd been an engineer, and then he decided to change professions. And so that made it hard when we were on district. Do you have district? No, you don't know what district is.
I don't know what district is.
We would have to make house calls. Do you make house calls?
Nope.
No. Well, we had to make house calls, and my district was from Roxbury to the Metropolitan Theater, which was a pretty long hike when you had more from one end to the other. And we would treat patients and dispense medicine. It was no problem dispensing medicine because the only drug we had was sulfa. And nobody dispensed that too readily because if you put the patient on sulfur, you had to go back 2 or 3 times and check to make sure they didn't have any toxic effects. So patients got it only when they truly, truly, truly needed it. And prior to our class, they even were doing obstetrics at the home. And a lot of medical students practically became boarders because, you know, you're not so smart knowing when the baby's about ready to arrive. But at our time, it was all, you know, confined to a hospital, which made things a little easier. The last 2 years were all clinicals, and they are with you, too.
Yeah.
Our house calls were always checked by, you know, by physicians so that we weren't dispensing medicine discriminately. You know, they were checked. And then, again, at the end, we took national boards. If you didn't pass national boards, you didn't graduate from medical school. And then we had to get our internships. And I wanted to go back home, so my internship was at Memorial Hospital. I didn't realize until you mentioned it. I guess I was the only woman at a lot of these places. I was the only woman resident in Memorial Hospital. So I have a college friend, and she did a story for the Telegram Gazette because this was news. Now, this wouldn't be news at all. It wouldn't be of the least interest to anybody, you know, woman intern at the hospital, because there are multiple ones now. And the following years, there were two more women. And then I think, you know, gradually, there were more and more. And, after my first year of internship, I had taken another year off because I had developed tuberculosis. And I spent a good deal of time at the Belmont Hospital. I don't know what Belmont Hospital is right now. It's on Belmont Hill. But, I don't know what they're using it for right now. And I had always planned on going into pediatrics, but having, you know, had tuberculosis, we decided maybe radiology would be, you know, a better field. Mm-hmm. And this is why I...
That's what changed to radiology.
I went into radiology. Had my first year at Memorial. And the second year at St. Elizabeth's, which was a hospital run by the nuns. Rose Kennedy even came at my time, and she really got the royal treatment. We weren't even allowed to go see Rose when she was there. St. Elizabeth's, I often wonder if they really realized I was a woman, because they were really not equipped as far as housing quarters for a woman. I had to stay in a room outside the boys' quarters. It was, like a living room to put in. And there was John that was used by everyone because it was adjacent to the library, so that was my quarters. And I was not allowed to step over the threshold into the boys' quarters. I mean, it was a no-no. And of course, the television was there, so all of them. So had I not made friends with one of the employees, it would have been a very lonely time. But there again, I was the only woman resident there. There were no women interns, so I guess we were a rarity at that time. And my last year, I spent at Newton Wellesley, and again, the only woman resident at that time. And then, even at that time, we didn't have any cars. And I do remember one time, we were all off for the weekend, and everybody needed something to do. The boys needed to have haircuts. I needed to go shopping. So one of the boys borrowed a nurse's car, and he parked it in an area. And we all went around our business, and then we all came back to the area, not being familiar with the car. When they returned, we put the key in the wrong car. we were trying to get into the wrong car, and while we were doing this, the people who owned the car were just observing us. So we could have all been put in jail had they not been understanding. We finally did find our own car, but it's all public transportation at that time. Mm-hmm. All public transportation.
You had a three-year residency?
Yeah, it was a three-year residency. Then when I got through, jobs weren't that plentiful. Permanent jobs were not that plentiful, but there was plenty of locum tenens. So group practice was not the thing at that time. You know, the doctors practiced individually. So when they needed, take a little vacation, there was always this opportunity to fork. So I worked in multiple places while waiting for a permanent position. I worked at Fall River, and I worked at Newport, and Ware, in Holyoke, also Burbank Hospital, and where else? Well, then I ended up in Mississippi because the locum tenens were getting less and less, and it was supposed to be a job for 1 month, but it actually ended up as a 6 month deal. And when I got back, there was a position open at Doctor's Hospital, so I took this. And then one of the physicians who was practicing with another radiologist asked that I come and join him, And it was agreed that I would come as soon as I had gone to a convention in Chicago. And while I was at the convention in Chicago, he died of a heart attack. But I did join the so-called group because there were now only two of us. And we had a cover a great deal.
You were all radiologists? This was
both
of you were
radiologists. Originally, there should have been three of us sharing the work, and then we ended up with two, seeing that he had died just suddenly. And we covered a lot of territory. City Hospital was a big hospital. We had Fayolon. We had Clinton. We had Holden. We had Milford, Webster, Southbridge, and the office. Of course, the two of us, we couldn't cover those hospitals every day because there just would be no time. And at that time, you didn't really need people covering that many x-rays taken. And, of course, equipment was not the best as it is now. And the technicians were good technicians, but they did not have that much practice. Most of them had almost one hospital. The x-ray technician was also a lab technician and did other things, you know, so they sort of picked these things up as they went along in medicine. We had no dictaphones, so you had either dictate to a secretary or write out your own reports. And, of course, in the beginning, you're kind of slow. So, thanks to my mother, who was a good lady, she'd take my grandmother in the hospitals I had to cover the following day. She'd go to those, bring back the x-rays, and I had a bottle and illuminator. And I would read those at night and type up the reports so that at least I could make headway. Because before, by the time I reached my second hospital, it was time to meet at the third. You know, it was a little hectic. And then as time went on, more and more people joined the group, and the hospitals got better coverage.
What did hospitals do for emergency x-rays? If someone came in with a fracture or I don't know what else, that they would need to be x-rayed and operated on immediately? Were you on emergency
call? Oh, we were on call, the two of us were on. When we just started, one would be on call all 1 week, and the other would be on call the next week. Actually, for something like that, usually the orthopedic man would be called in, so that you wouldn't be called for that, but you called frequently enough, even 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning for things. And even then, in the beginning, I didn't have my own car; I had to use my mother's car. It was a couple of years later where I finally did get my own car. And as the group became larger, the work, the traveling was not that great. We had hospitals that were a little bit closer. But at one time, I had to cover Clinton, which is North Massachusetts, and then Webster and Southbridge, South Massachusetts. When you think of it, perhaps it didn't seem that far. That was a good long jaunt. Yeah, it was a good long jaunt. And we worked well as a group. I did have a friend who was working for another radiology group, and at that time she was doing, I think, more work, being on call more, getting less pay, because that's the way they were thinking, Mm-hmm. She was a single woman without a family. She didn't need the money. I think maybe my group might have thought that way, but at least they didn't put this into practice. They didn't practice this, which was
a good thing.
Was a good thing. So, we worked hard, and then one day, I went to bed feeling perfectly fine. It was summer, like we've had right now, real hot. Miserable summer, and I wakened with a real, real bad stiff neck, and eventually I developed a spastic torticollis, and I I worked with that for a good about 8 years, and it just became progressively worse and worse, and came to quitting some of them. Then I had to read x-rays. Oddly enough, I could fluoroscope, which was the most difficult thing, because the torticollis, my head would go to the right, and when you fluoroscope, your head was in that position. And reading films was a real chore. I had to have a chair with back rest so that I could rest my head in reading it. And it was difficult. And then there were things I couldn't do, which make the physicians a little bit resentful, because I couldn't do IVs, because I would try it for the vein and my head would go to one direction and the needle would be and not in the right area. Mm-hmm. So the group was very good, and of course in radiology you have to inject pyelograms, and of course now you have to inject for capsicums and all this business. And so one of the group had to come to do my IVs the last few years, which was an inconvenience, and also physicians don't like that. they don't like that. So when I really had to retire, and they said, when I was 58, I don't think they thought it was much of a lot, because I really was not capable of doing the full function at that time. And I retired, however, in a time where progress was really being made, where nuclear medicine was coming in its own, and ultrasound, and the CAT scan, and it was a time when we just got the MRI. So I missed out on a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. But,
how much patient contact did you have? Were you mostly in your dark room reading films?
The only patient contact, most of the contact was when you first got the patient. Mm-hmm.
Radiologists now have more things, don't they, with patient contact?
Well, now you have the CAT scan, and the ultrasound, and I think there's a little more mm-hmm. doctor-patient relationship within. Mm-hmm. You fluoroscoping, you didn't know your fluoroscopy patients, but most of your patients were just an X-ray image,
It sounds as though you had a good relationship with your fellow physicians. Did you have problems because you were a woman? Did you feel isolated or...?
Oddly enough, I think the physicians who are my age and older readily accepted you. And the ones who I think did resent you a little bit, oddly enough, were the younger physicians. So I hope this has changed considerably. I think it must have.
I think it's the other way around, if at all, now.
Now the women resent the men?
No, but I think if there are problems, it's more with the older.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I haven't run into any difficulty line at all.
Yeah. I don't think you ever will. Mm-hmm. I don't think you ever will. But they're, well, people are people, so that you'll always find some who think a woman's place is in the home and running a family and not having a career. But I think those thoughts are being changed.
Have you ever gotten involved in teaching? No.
While in medical school, no. The only teaching I did was when I was in college, and mm-hmm. biology, and also at Fitchburg State Teachers, and that's, and then with the torticollis, I didn't want any teaching at all, because it would have been very embarrassing. Because I did go isolate, I still do have the spasm, but it has, gone considerably. At least I can drive, mm-hmm. which I couldn't do for a long time. Right. So it is better. Mm-hmm. It is better. So what are you planning to do?
Family practice.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, because I think there is a real paucity of family physicians, and so many people do want a family physician. Yeah, that's great. You're planning to stay in this area?
In Western Massachusetts, actually, is where I'm hoping to end. end up.
Where do you live?
I live in Montague, which is near Greenfield.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's close to my University of Massachusetts.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
In that area, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's beautiful country. That's beautiful country, yeah. Yeah.
So what are the biggest changes in your field from when you started to when you retired?
I think types that we practice practically obsolete because you're going to the CAT scans, you're going to MRI, you know, so it's, I think it has changed considerably.
Have things like chest x-rays changed very much? The equipment, I assume, is...
Well, the equipment is better.
Better.
You're getting less exposure, but as far as chest x-ray, I'm sure that's pretty much the same. But all this new equipment, they certainly a lot better. We used to do a lot of myelograms. I don't think you do myelograms. Do you? How often do they do myelograms now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they still do them, but I don't.
Yeah, but you do a CAT scan instead. Yeah, that's. Yeah, which. That myelograms were not particularly a thing that the patient liked because that they hurt. And getting the dye out sometimes was a little difficult, and if you don't get all the dye out, they ended up with inflammation of nerves, and you know, with some problems. So things have advanced a lot for the better, and particularly pharmacology. Now it must be extremely difficult for you, is it not, to decide which drug you're going to use? You need the formulary, don't you, all the time? They're just too many. Now, we didn't have that problem. I told you it was sulfur, and that was it. We didn't even dispense penicillin. It was sulfur, yeah. Yeah, so...
Were you a member of medical societies, or...?
Yes, yeah, well, we the Worcester Medical Society, and then the Massachusetts Medical Society, and then you have your Rankin-Ray Society. And there were two of those, and yeah.
And were there lots of continuing education courses and conferences? And
yes. That was a nice part, yeah, because I got to go to Russia, one of them, which was very nice. And Russian medicine was really far behind ours. And I think they had an inferiority complex, too, because while we were there, they were supposed to lecture to us, but there, they never did show up, and their excuse was there was too much traffic. At the time we were there, there was no traffic at all, so that was a very legitimate excuse. And we did go to one hospital and did have a lecture by one of them, who was the editor of their radiology magazine that they had. And I think he very much resented us because doctors were not revered, I don't know what they are now, but they were not revered very much in Russia. I mean, if you were a ballet dancer, you were something, or an engineer. Those were the two prime ones, but doctors didn't amount to much. And most of them were women, oddly enough, yeah. Maybe that's why they weren't revered so much. and then I also went to Hawaii on one of the conventions, which was nice, and of course to Chicago and all the other places, but Hawaii and Russia were great. We got to Canada on some of them. Yeah, you did learn a lot at the conventions, and they were interesting.
What was the typical day like? What were your hours? Did you work out of an office, or... Just traveling to hospitals, or
it varied as we added more to the group. When we just get started, it was day and night. It was day and night. I would go to a hospital and do the fluoroscopies and read the films, and like I said, my mother would be at getting the films for the next day, and then when I got home, I would be typing those. So it was a long day, you know, like from 8 to 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And then, as you know, we added more to the group, and also as you became more adept, it became a little faster. And that wasn't bad. My last days, I had a good schedule. It was a very unusual schedule, but it was one that I liked because I'm a morning person. So I would get in there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and by 1 o'clock I was pretty much all through with my chores, and then the others would be, you know, come in the afternoon, so it was a full, covered by a full day. But it all depended on how many, you know, we had in the group, you know, how long a day and how much you did. But we took call frequently, and you were, it seems like you were on call all the time. Yeah.
Are there any cases that stand out in your mind?
That's, no, I don't, I think, no, I don't.
Nothing that you discovered that was very difficult or that you wished you'd discovered?
Well, I thought I was pretty smart once. I don't know what anybody else was, but I was reading an x-ray and the patient had had some opaque media that was still in the colon, and when you traced the media, it looked like there was a polyp in the colon, which doesn't show up on plain film. So I picked up a polyp on the plain film. I thought I was pretty smart there, because it did turn out to be a polyp when they did the examination. But I don't remember being smart of it. Yeah.
Are there any people who were particular mentors or that you think of as particular influences on you?
Well, I think Dr. Kirkendall in Memorial Hospital is my mother's physician, my sister's physician, and he was very good to me in Memorial Hospital, too. He was a real good man. I just like Dr. Nudemarkle was, I was very fortunate. He was extremely good to me. This is, it's difficult getting positions, you know, the teaching positions, and of course, I didn't have too much competition at that time because the boys were, you know, the boys were away, and there just were not that many people to cover. But despite that, they were very good, and Dr. Potter was also very good, although I didn't have too many courses with Dr. Potter, and most of them were Dr. Nudemarkle, because this was all that he had, the embryology and the histology and the biology, and, you know, most of the pre-med things.
What requirements for entrance were there at BU when you went to medical school?
Well, you just had to have the right number of science courses. Which ones they just, what are they right now? I would think it's probably the same.
Biology, physics, chemistry, and organic chemistry.
Well, I had all those, so I would have made it that this is now too.
Still could get in.
Of course, Clark had a good reputation.
Yeah. What made you want to be a doctor? You didn't have lots of female role models.
No. I think junior high, we had to write a composition. What would you like to be? I decided then what I would like to be. I had to make up my mind for the composition, and then I stuck with it.
And did you have a fairly clear idea of what it would be like when you started out?
Well, my first year at the University of Massachusetts, they suggested, which was a good suggestion, that if you were particularly interested in a certain field, that you spend the summer in medicine, you spend it in the hospital. So the year between the University of Massachusetts and Clark, I spent at the Hahnemann Hospital.
What were you doing there?
Just
following doctors, sir?
Well, I don't know. They didn't let you do too much. You were transporting patients and things like that, but you were observing, you know. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know. they knew that you were interested in medicine, so people would be kind to you and maybe tell you a little bit more. But that didn't deter me. That Memorial Hospital, not Memorial, was Hanlon Hospital. Is that what I said?
Yes.
Was Hanlon, yeah. At that time, they had a chef who was a wonderful, wonderful pastry cook. I think it was the best in town. You have now 2 more years?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you taken your boards then?
At the end of this year.
At the end of this year.
This is just the beginning of year two. So. On to the clinical.
That's more interesting, yeah. But this is going to be easier for you now. Now, you're not going to have to walk all those miles, are you? And also, our district was not too ideal even at that time, but who wants to do Roxbury and the Metropolitan Theater now?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure, I think they must have dispensed with that.
No, when you were in your internship and residency,
mm-hmm.
Were you very independent, or were all the residents sort of housed together or kept together, or...
You mean living quarters?
Living quarters and...
Oh, I think we're all very, very close. And the living quarters at Memorial were co-ed.
Mm-hmm.
At Newton Wellesley, they were co-ed. And, I'd like to tell you, St. Elizabeth's wasn't too separate because in the room adjacent to them, but don't go over the threshold. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think... We all got along very well, it was all very cooperative group.
Well, it sounds as though you have the right attitude to be a pioneer. You were even a pioneer clerk in the first co-ed class.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Actually, we were the first women to graduate. We were the first women to be accepted, and because we accelerated, we were the first women to graduate, too, from Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... But unfortunately, when reunions come along, they're never particularly satisfactory because you just don't know which class you're in. Like I said, the people you started out with were not the people you graduated with. And our reunions, the last reunion I organized, it was very unsatisfactory. 3 women. 2 men showed up, and that was it. That was it.
Well, that is disappointing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there were 3 women and 2 women at least. I was a third. 2 women and 2 men that I like. So we had a good time anyway.
Good.
We had our 50th, and I don't think that was successful either. You know, it's because of the war.
Yes.
Perhaps they had reunions. It might be, at that time, it might be good to have a reunion for the 4 years all put together instead of, the separate years. I guess you can do without reunions.
Have you kept in touch with your fellow medical students, your fellow female medical students? The other, you said there were 7 of you that graduated.
Yeah. One of them became a radiologist, so I didn't mm-hmm. see her, and she's in Newton Wellesley. I think she may even still be practicing. Then we have one who died, young. I think she just finished her residency and died of malignancy. And she was a daughter of one of the physicians. And the others, are... One, I guess, in the Boston area. The other one, I don't know where she was. And I think most of them retired at this time. So I didn't really keep in touch with those. The one who was a radiologist, we roomed together. We were lucky because the Franklin Square House was still in existence at that time, and that was close to the medical school. So the women really did have a good place to stay. And we didn't have to make meals because it served meals. It was only Sunday night, but you have to go out for your own meal. But the boys, had to find apartments. And some of them became great cooks. of necessity, you know. They did very well.
And your family was supportive all along?
Well, like I said, my poor mother had to work and will, you know, for the tuition. And, you know, she had not, I'm sure I would not have been able to get through medical school, yeah.
Were they surprised at your choice of career?
I don't think so. No. But a lot of my father's friends, a woman physician, that's ridiculous, you know. But we showed them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you showed them. That didn't deter you.
Yeah. Okay. How about you? Your family supportive of you?
Oh, very. Yeah. Had you had physicians in your family at all?
No. Sadly enough, my uncle was a male nurse.
That was pioneering too, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think he always wanted to become a physician, but there was just no money, so I think he went into that. And he just died recently. And then the aunt I was talking about, where she is right at this point, is his wife. Yeah. He lived a good long life. We've got families that lived long. My mother died at 88. My father at 95, and my uncle at 97.
Good thing.
And my grandmother, grandfather, way back then, died in their 80s, so maybe I'll live to 92. You never know, do you?
Do you follow radiology now? Do you still get journals, or are you taking a vacation from all that?
No, I've really taken a vacation from all that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I really have retired. We have a very nice senior group here at the Boston, which is very active. And it's fun. We have monthly meetings and we have trips. And we have good people. You know, we have good, caring people. It's like you're too young to know, but in the olden days where people cared for one another, you know, they were really interested. Well, we have people who still are interested in one another, and they're very good. As a matter of fact, when my dad was ill, he had cancer of the pancreas, and it was very difficult for me, because I do have a sister, but she's legally blind, and she can't drive, and she couldn't be of much help. And boy, these people were just absolutely great. I have a neighbor who was extremely helpful. My father didn't want anyone else to come, so if you had private nurses, he wouldn't enjoy that at all. So that meant that, you know, you had to be with them all the time. And we did have the nurses who came in, of course, about two, three times a week. And then you'd have the nurse's aide would help him. That didn't give me very much time. You had to do the grocery shopping, you had to, you know, get the medicine, and do the banking and all this business. So my neighbors were just absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. But they would come and stay with my father, you know, when I needed it, and help them. They would make meals or bring meals down. So it was like the good old days. It was like going back several several generations.
Wonderful. I have a question. Since I'm at UMass now, mm-hmm. did you have any relationship with the medical center, UMass Medical Center?
Only, I think we took a couple courses there. I think there were some courses that were offered. I think it was radiology, and I just took courses there. And I'm planning to stay back here. You're planning to go to Greenfield, you said?
Yeah. Eventually?
Yeah.
Actually, I have another little question, and that is about how the female nurses treated you. I've talked to some female anesthesiologists and such who feel they feel much more resentment from the female nurses than they do from their male colleagues. Did you feel that at all, or?
Well, there was only one time. We had a female anesthetist at the Memorial Hospital, and for some reason, the doctor preferred the interns to the spinal tap, and she told me particularly that she was wishing that I couldn't get in. Of course, I was praying that I was going to get in all the time, because she just wanted to show the doctor that she could do better. But God answered my prayers, and I did get in. No, I don't think so. I don't think there was any resentment among the nurses. No, I think we get along fine. No, I don't recall any incidents.
Do you have any advice for people who are thinking of going into medicine nowadays?
No, I just go for it, I'm sure you'll enjoy it, and I'm sure you'll be a very good physician.
I hope so. I'm expecting to enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that you'll be a good one. And I think your field is a good one. I think Greenfield will appreciate you. Now, are you planning on going into HMO like Fallon, or?
We'll see what's there by the time I get out.
Do they have a Greenfield?
They don't have Fallon, but they don't have HMOs yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what more and more of the care is. There are very few even small practices anymore.
Now that's better. Now you'll have more time. You won't have to be on call every night for a week or so, or will you? Because then when you're through, the emergency department takes care of calls, do they, the way it's set up now?
I expect. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's changing rapidly, so.
Yeah.
But more and more practices are affiliated with hospitals, too.
You don't think they'll go back to house calls?
Oh, I don't know. I think a little bit they will.
You think so?
But I don't think that's going to be the general mode of medicine. I think they're working hard to make us have some of those people skills that the family doc used to have, and visiting people in their homes.
Good relation. Yeah. Why don't you lean back and be comfortable? Good relationship with your patients, that means a great deal. I think that'd be far fewer malpractice suits if a little better relationships. I think those are decreasing. Malpractice suits were rampant.
Was that a problem in radiology?
When they had a malpractice suit, anybody who had anything to do with the patient would be involved, and then before the suit came up, they might drop you, but they could scare the daylight out of you because you think you were involved when you really weren't. You had nothing to do with it.
Were you or your partners involved in lawsuits at all?
Not any, but actually, there were lawsuits. Well, yeah, I guess some of them were. Yeah, I guess some of them were. But most of the time, because maybe a surgeon or something did something that was, or they thought, not necessarily that he did it, but did something wrong. They thought he might have done something wrong, and then everyone involved with the case would be sued. I think this wasn't a lesson that. However, when they start giving people $1.5 million for nothing, I mean, you just wonder.
Encourages them. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be something that Lady McDonald's, let she get $1 million because the coffee was too hot and she spilled it on herself? Now, I can't see a logic to that, can you? I mean, I don't think McDonald's was blamed that she spilled it on herself.
It was frivolous.
It was hot. You could make your own coffee hot and at home too, couldn't you? This is,
well, it's been fascinating talking with you.
Yeah, it's been nice talking to you.
Anything else you want to record for posterity?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Just wish you good luck.
Thank you very
much. And I'm sure you'll, like I said, I'm sure you'll do very well.
Thank you.
Two more years, huh? Two more years of...
Plus all of this year.
Not too much more of this year. Well, this year goes until when?
Our boards are in June.
In June, the next June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I thoroughly enjoy it, so.
Mm-hmm. And there are 50% of the class are women, huh? Mm-hmm. Gee, that's great. That's great. Now, is that comparable to all medical schools that you're aware of? Or that it's just University of Massachusetts?
UMass has been at 50% for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the others are more like 40%.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few that are over 50%.
Well, 40% is great.
Yeah.
Compared to one in Yale and eight when I get started.
It's come way up. Yeah. Big difference.
Yes. That's great.
And there's still some specialties, I think, that are where women are underrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
Neurosurgery and orthopedics, I'm sure. And I would think maybe radiology even.
I'm wrong. There were 9 women in my class. It was when you mentioned that, there were 9 in that class, and we graduated with 8. I got the numbers wrong. I forgot. I'm a neurologist. You said neurosurgery.
Mm.
We had one woman who went into neurology. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Well, no reason why a woman can't be a good neurosurgeon.
No, there are some fine ones.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think it's more difficult for them. They get less encouragement from peers in some parts of the profession, I expect.
Well, I don't think surgery never appealed to me that much. And so, you either?
No. Not at all.
Yeah. I think the women in our class, one went into radiology, the two, Galilee. One, I think, was general practitioner. I guess two general practitioners. And one died. I don't know what the rest are doing, but I think most of them were in general practice. Oddly enough, we didn't have any pediatricians from our class, and that's one thing that women seem to go into more.
Gravitate towards,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Were you disappointed when your career changed from pediatrician to radiologist?
At that time, I thought it was a better, a better thing. Mm-hmm. Particularly, you weren't quite sure, either that would be healed or not, and you have less contact with patients.
Mm-hmm.
In radiology than you do in pediatrics. Actually, I think it was a good decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much.
All right, would you like a coffee?